Let's read together in the scriptures. We'll start with prayer. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to talk this morning about three phases or three periods that are connected to God's promises to us. The first period or the first phase is a time of leaving. Say that one word with me, leaving. The second is a time of going. Can you say that with me? Going. And the third is a time of coming into. Two words, coming into. So you've got leaving, going, and coming into. And Abraham's life well illustrates these three different phases or periods. The first phase of the promise that Abraham experienced involved leaving. Do you remember the two words that God spoke to Abraham that had to do with the leaving? Lech lecha. Yes, that's right. Lech lecha. Get yourself up and go. You see, it wasn't just a calling. There was a response that was necessary. You can be called, but you have to respond to the calling. And for Abraham, the call required that he leave. He had to get up and get out of the land of his fathers, and he had to go to a land that God would show to him. Sometimes God's call works the same way in our lives. We have to leave something. We have to leave somewhere. We have to leave someone. How many of you have experienced that where in your life, in order to pursue what God was showing you, you had to leave? You had to leave something. You had to move. You had to leave a job. You had to leave a relationship. Sometimes you have to leave a frame of mind, a perspective, a way of understanding. The second phase of the promise involves the going. Leaving may be the beginning, but after you leave, you have to keep going. Sometimes when we experience a call into something new, we think if we can just take that first step, you know, it's all done. And we start leaving, we actually do leave, and then we find out, oh my gosh, this is not as easy as I thought. Because there's more to it. The going is, of course, an extension of the leaving, but at some point the going takes on a life of its own. It has its own challenges, it has its own temptations. I think about the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. There was excitement. Do you remember? We get to leave Egypt. There was excitement about leaving slavery, but it wasn't long after they left that they found the going was tough. In fact, as soon as they got to the Red Sea, they had a challenge. And when they made it through the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was just overtaken by the water at God's hand, they got to the other side and they sang and they danced and they were happy and they probably thought, great, it's going to be easy from here. Some of you can identify with this because you've had similar experiences. Not that Egyptians were following you, not that there were chariots on your tail, not that you crossed the dry land of the Red Sea, but that you left and as you were going out, you felt grace, you felt favor. And when there was a challenge, you saw God's victory and you thought, ah, this is it. It's going to be easy. And then you woke up. And the next day, you found out it was tough. The going is a time of great transition, and there can be much loss. There can be mourning. There's a lot that is missing. We leave something, and we're going towards something. But during the second phase, the going, there's typically a kind of insufficiency. When the children of Israel made it through the Red Sea and they got on the other side, it wasn't long before they were not happy with the food. What is this food? I don't like it. it's the same thing every day. We were talking with some friends recently, and someone said, well, my mom had 6 different meals, and we just went through them. And so you had on day 1, you had meal 1, all the way to day 6, and then you start all over again. And I thought, well, that's interesting, but I knew this couple in Moscow, and they had 2 meals. And on week 1, they would eat hot dogs. And on week 2, they would eat pelmeni, Russian ravioli, if you will. And then on week 3, hot dogs again. But now, this morning, I'm thinking, we have history that's even better than that. We had 1 meal. Manna. 3 times a day. But during that period, during the going, the children of Israel, they were tempted. They were tempted to remember what they had left, but to remember it sort of in idealized terms, only remembering the good. They're thinking about this food that they don't have, and then someone says, oh, the melons of Egypt. And someone else says, the melons? What about the garlic? And someone says, oh, the leeks. And pretty soon, they're remembering how good it was in Egypt. And because the going is tough, they want to go back the way they came. During the time of going, there is a temptation. There are challenges. It's when we're vulnerable to second-guessing ourselves. We leave with clear motivation, but as we're going, we say, why did I do this? And we even begin to imagine or to plot, how can I get back to where I was? The process is almost universal, and we need to be prepared to deal with it. Paul recognized that life includes leaving, and it includes going, and he described it this way. It's in Philippians chapter 3. If you brought a Bible, let me see it. Let me see. I have one here. I have one here. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brothers, and you could say brothers and sisters, I don't regard myself as having fully laid a hold of it all yet, but one thing I do. And then he tells us 2 things. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Can you say that with me? Forgetting what lies behind. Now, if the person sitting next to you is at all friendly looking, then look at them and say, just forget what lies behind. Just forget what lies behind. And this is the second thing, but they really go together. Forgetting what lies behind, the second part is reaching forward to what lies ahead. Say that with me, reaching forward to what lies ahead. Okay, so if that person is still smiling who you told to forget what lies behind, now smile at them more strongly and say, reach forward, reach forward, reach forward. The going requires that we forget what lies behind us and we reach forward and we aim in the direction of the future. You cannot drive forward safely by looking in the rearview mirror. And sailors say something like this, Aaron Jacobs, you can put the fine touch on it. You can't navigate by looking at the wake. What's the correct way to say that?
To be able to move forward safely, you can't look at the buoys you've passed and the buoys that are in your wake.
You said it much more eloquently as a Navy man. I heard a Navy guy say it. He is a Navy guy. You can't look backwards in order to understand how to move forward. You have to reach forward. And Proverbs gives us very practical wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4. Where would you find the book of Proverbs? After Psalms. That's right. If you can't find Psalms, ask the person sitting next to you. If they don't know, just go down the row. Someone will know. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you." And we're talking about straight ahead. It's using a form of the Hebrew word yashar, which is a good directional word, go straight ahead. In Russian, it'd be priyama, priyama, straight, straight. Once Sandy and I were in Israel, we were trying to find a home of friends who we'd not visited in their home, and we were a little bit lost. She would probably say we were really lost. And so we stopped for directions. I don't know why we stopped for directions, because I didn't think I would understand the directions. But somehow we communicated where we were trying to go, and whoever answered us said something like, "Yashar, yashar, yashar, yamin." It's like, okay, straight, 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 right. And I thought, okay, I can do that. I think. Somehow we got there. And this is saying something like that. Just go straight. Go straight ahead. Get your eyes fixed on what's straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. The soldiers in Israel say, "Kadima," forward. Go forward. In Proverbs 4, it continues in verse 26. It says, "Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." I like what Isaiah says about this same thing. It's in chapter 30, verse 21. He describes how the Holy Spirit will guide you when you're trying to move straight ahead. You're trying to move in the direction that God has for you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Now, some of you have had this experience. You're following God. You're moving forward, and yet you're getting a little bit off track, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and says, "No, straighten up. Go this way." Some of you have had points in your life where you come to a junction, if you will, two choices, and the question is, do I go this direction or do I go this direction? And the Holy Spirit says, "Walk this way." You could not fully explain to other people why it's rational to do it, but you know it's a rational God who you serve, who has understanding and wisdom and says, "This is the way, walk in it." In Hebrews chapter 12, there's another detail that's added for all of those who are trying to move ahead. And the detail is really simple. Keep Yeshua in focus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Yeshua." Let's stop right there and say, well, how do you do that if he's invisible now? And I think one of the ways that you do it is you read the Gospels that describe the life of Yeshua and allow us to hear the words of Yeshua, and that word, which is active and alive, impresses upon us the ways of Yeshua. Amen. And the other way is you keep a solid relationship, an intimate relationship with the Lord, and God, by his Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Yeshua. Because there's only one God, Echad. He just manifests himself in these different personas, if you will, or different faces. We fix our eyes on Yeshua, who is described as the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of Hashem. Now let's go back to Abraham for a minute and think about this. Every step that Abraham took that moved him away from the land of his fathers was a step that moved him closer to the land of God's promises. Sometimes you don't really know where you're going, but you know where you went, came from. And if you can just keep moving forward, you'll be okay. And even if you aren't sure where to go, the Holy Spirit will begin to show you and give you some direction. Amen. Let's think about the third period or third phase, the coming into the promise. Remember, period one, the leaving, that's when you only see from afar. Period two is the going, and that's when you're on the way. You're making progress, you're on the move. You may even be nearby, but you still are not there yet. And then the third period is the coming into, and that's when we see what is at hand and we experience of it. We experience it. Let me ask you this. How many who are in this room have actually been to the land of Israel? Would you raise your hand so I can see? A fair number of us. And do you remember how exciting it was to make the decision to go? A few of you do. Some of you have lost your memory. I was at the gym the other day. I couldn't remember what I was supposed to do next. I said to Sergey, I've got the sharp mind of a 90-year-old. And do you remember how exciting it was to leave the United States? Most of us who have gone to the land of Israel have flown there. Is there anybody who went another way? By donkey, boat, car? Okay, so we all flew. We can say that. And do you remember how exciting it was to actually be on the airplane knowing this airplane's landing in Israel? It's exciting just to think about it right now, isn't it? And there's nothing like the coming into when you land in Eretz Yisrael after the flight. I remember the first time Sandy and I went together. I had been several times because my grandparents lived in Tel Aviv. And Sandy and I went together, and when our plane landed on the runway in Israel, everyone broke out into applause. The entire plane started clapping. How many had that experience on your flight? It's like an uncontrollable experience. People are excited. And then I remember when the plane touched down, we had this enthusiasm, we're here, but we're still on the plane. Right? And at that time, they wheeled up this big staircase, you know, to the plane. I'm sure there's a name for it. I call it a staircase because it had stairs. I thought I could say it was a mobile staircase. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay. So they wheeled this up. They opened the doors, and we walked down, and I'll never forget the sight as many people actually stepped off the last step and their feet touched Eretz Yisrael. Many just fell to the ground. And it's like they wanted to kiss the ground. And they wanted to thank God. And they were so happy. And yet, it's still tarmac. And what makes it special is not the tarmac. What makes it special is they're in the land now. And even though they may have citizenship somewhere else, and they know they have citizenship in heaven, many of them, there is a feeling of coming home. And of saying, this is home. I feel at home. Whether I have residence there or not, this is home. It is so exciting. There's something that's like a paradigm in that. It's an example of the way things are. You have the promise, you have the going, but there's the coming into. And it's so special. I remember in Budapest, I was talking to some Hungarian Jews who had just come back from Israel from a visit, and they were just so excited. And Hungarian Jews are an interesting group. When Sandy and I lived there, I would say 99.9% of the Hungarian Jews would deny that they were Jewish when you first talked to them. And only later would they admit that they were Jews. And it's because of the persecution. You know, the Hungarians were actually allies with the Nazis, not fighting against the Nazis, but on the side of the Nazis. And there's a lot of anti-Semitism. And so we were with some Jews who had denied they were Jews to our face. And we would look at them and say, how could they even think they're not Jewish? And of course, they were Jewish, but they were protecting themselves. But one of these had gone with her family to Israel. They'd come back to Budapest. I met her uncle, and her uncle said, it was so fantastic in Hungarian, fantastikus. I'll never forget that word. To be in Israel. I said, well, what was the best part? And he said, I got a ticket for speeding. And I said, why was that exciting? And he looked at me and he said, it was a Jewish Israeli policeman. He felt honored to be ticketed by a Jew in the land of Israel. It was his treasure. It was the first thing that came to mind. It was the way that he said, I was at home there. The coming into is so different. That's when you experience the reality of the promise. That's when you get Israeli tickets. I haven't gotten any tickets in Israel, though I have been stopped a number of occasions. I'll tell you those stories later. Now, there's another way of describing these three phases. You could say the promise. That's when the promise is written on your heart. That's the first phase or first period. The second period is the hope. That's the whole period when you're moving towards the promise, but you still don't have it yet. And then the receiving, that's when you actually receive the reality of what was promised. So say that with me. The promise, the hope, the receiving. Now, some people get stuck in the promise. They have that promise written on their heart, but they don't realize there's something they have to do. They have to be obedient. They have to be led by the Spirit of God. They have to keep going as well. It's not just leaving. It's not just taking the first step. The first step is the beginning, but there are many steps afterwards. And it's in that period of the going that many people just give up and they say, it's too hard. I thought this was going to be easier. This is almost a universal experience. How many have wanted to quit during the time of going? Yeah, the rest of you, you did quit. You just don't want to admit it. No, it's universal. It's a struggle. It's difficult. You have to fight to keep going. The temptation is to go back or to give up or to forget the promise. But if you want to receive, you keep going and you don't give up. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Because we see that the writer of Hebrews understood that what was happening with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is instructive for you and for me now. If you're following Yeshua, this is a way that you can understand what faith looks like. Verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, say that with me, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So he left and he went. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country, like an immigrant, like someone for whom this new land is still a little bit unfamiliar. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. That connects to what Nahalel was saying earlier today. Isaac received the same promise. Jacob received the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. In Abraham's mind, in Isaac's mind, in Jacob's mind, Eretz Yisrael was not just the land of Israel, it was connected to God's eternal purposes for all time. Not just his temporal purposes, but his eternal purposes. And the longing they had to be fully in God's kingdom was connected to the longing to be in the land. Verse 11, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because, now this is the key, and if you can hold on to this today, it will help you in your period of going. Because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. This is the key. You see, many people hold on to the promise. That's not the right way to live. You hold on to the one who makes the promise. It's not the promise that you can depend on. It's God who made the promise to you. Many people put their confidence in something that's one step away from God Himself. People put their confidence in faith. There's a whole faith movement. It's a movement that's originally built on faith in God, but eventually some people have faith in faith, and they trust their faith more than they trust God. Amen. And they trust the teachings and the methods and the practices rather than the one. Some people trust in prayer. I don't trust in prayer. I trust in God who answers prayer. It's not a method that you trust. It's not a discipline. These things are useful, but they are not trustworthy. He is trustworthy. What was the secret for Abraham? It's not that he mastered methods. It's that he trusted the one who was faithful. He lived for him. Abraham considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. When I die, I hope it will be said of me, he was living by faith. Do you want that to be said of you? She was living by faith. She was trusting God. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Now, in this respect, it's talking about all that God wanted to do through Messiah. But it's also talking about something else, that Abraham only received some portion of what was promised because the promise was made to Isaac too. And for Abraham's absolute fulfillment of promise, Isaac had to receive as well. And Jacob had to receive, and on down the generations. And so you see that Abraham was dependent not only on God, but on God being faithful to the next generation and the next generation. The fact that we're here today is a testimony to Abraham's faithfulness and Abraham's faith in God, that God has been able to preserve a remnant of the Jewish people who trust in the God of Israel and the Messiah of Israel, and Abraham counts us as family. And rejoices and is part of that cloud of witnesses who looks on and says, keep going. Hold on to him who makes the promise. He's faithful. It was a key for Abraham, and it's a key for you and for me. Hang on to him who made the promise. Live by faith. And take heart in this. Regarding Messiah, we are now receiving what God has promised. At other times, even 2,000 years ago, there was a longing for the coming of Messiah, and he came. And in this era we're living in, there is a longing for Messiah, and he is coming to us. And I'm not talking about in an eschatological sense. I'm talking about in a real sense of how he visits with us. He comes, he is with us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. He makes his word active and alive. Isaiah 48, verse 17, speaks to this. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. We read today in Genesis chapter 26, that Isaac was given specific instruction to not do everything exactly the way Abraham had done. Abraham came into the land of promise, that there was a famine. He went down to Egypt at the Lord's instruction. And yet, Isaac, when he experienced the famine in the same land, was given these words, don't go down. You see, that's how the Holy Spirit works. It's not just by establishing principles that you always follow, but you follow him in his direction. Don't go down to Egypt, Isaac. And Isaac remained in the land. You and I are facing at least many of us are facing the challenge to go and to keep going. And I want to assure you of something. God is faithful. Hold on to Him. Trust Him. Don't just trust yourself. And don't worry if you're wondering about going back. Just don't go back.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The temptation is universal. Don't give in to it. Amen. Don't fall for it, because there was a promise that God wrote on your heart, which is why you left in the first place. Leave. Don't go back. Keep going. And I tell you what, if you're faithful, God will be faithful. Even when you're not faithful, God's faithful. And He'll pull you out if you'll let Him.
Hallelujah.
Out of every troubling condition that you find yourself in. When you start remembering the melons and the leeks and the garlic, just go to the grocery store and cook up something for yourself and stay put until you're ready to go. I want to pray for anybody who needs God's help to keep going. If you need God's help to keep going, I want to pray for you. If you don't need help, I mean, maybe everything's just cool in your life, and you've got one of those situations where it's all working out, and it's pretty easy, then you can just join me in praying for all the rest of the people. I'm not in that situation. I'm in the situation like most of you, where to keep going requires the grace of God in my life. If that's your situation, stand up. I'll pray with you and for you. Lord, we are sons and daughters of Abraham in that we understand something. We not only have to leave, we have to keep going. And we want to fix our eyes on You, Yeshua. We want to keep looking straight ahead. We want to forget what lies behind. We want to reach forward to what lies ahead. Thank You, Lord, that You renew our strength so that we can keep going. When we are not able to keep going and we're stumbling, You are the one about whom it is said, Somech Noflim. You lift up and uphold those who are falling. And You put us back up. Though the righteous fall 7 times, they get up. Thank You, Lord, that You strengthen us and You renew us. Use this time. Use Your word, Lord, to refresh us and to strengthen us on this journey, we ask in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you with all of His favor. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.